Blaise Pascal, the well-known French mathematician and philosopher, he famously said the following: "All men seek happiness. This is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. The cause of some going to war and of others avoiding it is the same desire in both, attended with different views. The will never takes the least step but to this object. This is the motive of every action of every man." Now, his point is that everyone seeks happiness. Everyone seeks joy. And the actions that we take always tend to the end of seeking that joy. I went to the beach last week with my family. Why? Because it brought us joy. I do the dishes, not because washing the dishes particular brings me joy, but because it's a blessing to my wife. It makes her happy, and that in turn brings me joy. Everyone seeks happiness, and all the actions that we do are steps towards that goal. But the crucial question is, where do you find your joy? What are you seeking in order to make you happy? You see, that is a very important question. Because if Pascal is right, and I think he is, then every action you take is a step toward that joy. And so whatever joy you are seeking is in effect shaping your actions and who you're becoming. And so where do you find your joy? That will be the topic of discussion for this morning in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. We will be talking about our joy, specifically the what, the why, and the how of our joy. We will look at first, what is the source of our joy? Secondly, why do we rejoice in this source? And lastly, and thirdly, how do we rejoice in this source? The what, why, and how of our joy. That is what we will be covering this morning. Let's start off by just reading Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 again. All eyes back in the Bible, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Just one verse. "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you." Now, this is admittedly not going to be a detailed explanation of this verse in particular, per se, but rather the theme of rejoicing in the Lord is so important in the letter of Philippians and in the entire Bible that I thought it best and wise to dedicate an entire sermon to this very important theme of what it means to rejoice in the Lord. You see, rejoicing in the Lord is like this diamond with many facets to it. And you can look at it from different angles and it can shine off and beautiful and bright, beautiful aspects of that diamond. We're going to be just looking at one of those aspects, one of those facets this morning. And Philippians 3:1 is an excellent springboard into the topic of rejoicing in the Lord. So with that said, let's now look at the what of our joy. The what of our joy. What are we rejoicing in? What is the source of our rejoicing and thus the source of our joy? Well, the text makes it quite clear, but let me first state what is not the source of our joy, and then we'll take a look at what Paul says in Philippians 3:1 is the source of our joy. So first, the source of our joy is not in our circumstances. The source of our joy is not in our circumstances. I would argue that that source is by far the most popular source among people, Christians included. All of us have a tendency and a temptation to look at our circumstances and allow that to dictate our joy. It is our default source of joy. If our health is good, then we rejoice. But if our health is bad, whether that is a minor sickness, chronic pain, or a life-threatening disease, we are prone to sadness and despair. If things are going according to our plan, then we rejoice. But when our plans go awry, then we get angry and frustrated. If we feel financially secure, then we rejoice. But if our finances begin to dwindle, or if the stock market tanks, or if various repairs in our house cause us to deplete much of our savings, suddenly we are more anxious and worried. In our experiences, bad situations cause us to respond negatively. When our circumstances are the source of our rejoicing, then those very circumstances will ultimately dictate our happiness, dictate our joy or our lack of joy. And so if you want to experience the greatest, most lasting joy, then you won't find it in your circumstances. Your circumstances will always fluctuate between good, bad, and indifferent. You cannot avoid bad circumstances in your life. And so if the source of your rejoicing is in your situation, then your happiness will fluctuate along with your circumstances. The source of true lasting joy is not found in that, but rather the source of our joy, as we see in Philippians, is found in the Lord. God is the source of our rejoicing. We rejoice in the Lord. Now, when we say that something is the source of our rejoicing, it means that we look to that something in order to lead us to rejoice. And so what does it mean that God is the source of our joy that will lead us to rejoice? Well, I could preach dozens of sermons on that, but I will constrain myself to briefly just name four reasons, right? These are four things that we can look to about God that could be the source of our rejoicing. First, we look to God's character, that is, who He is, as the grounds for our rejoicing. For instance, we can look to the fact that God is good, always and forever, at all times, in all places, in all circumstances. God is good. When the earth was flooded at the time of Noah, and all except 8 people died, God was still good. God was good when He chose Isaac and not Ishmael, Jacob and not Esau. God was good through the Christian Crusades, the Holocaust, and the genocide of Rwanda. He is still good when your loved one is struck with cancer. Though bad, evil things may happen in our world, that does not affect the goodness of God. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. There is not one nanosecond of time in which God stops being good. He is good. And there is not one drop of evil in His essence. We never, ever have to question if God's motives are bad or evil. Why? Because it is impossible for Him to be anything other than good. His very nature is to be perfect in goodness. He is the standard of what it means to be good. And so no matter our circumstances, we can look to our God who is good all the time. Another attribute, God is faithful, always and forever, at all times, in all places, in all circumstances. God is faithful. He will never, ever go back on His promises and on His word. He is faithful even when we are unfaithful. God is just. Always and forever, at all times, in all places, in all circumstances, God is just. There is never a situation in which God does not do the right thing. It is impossible for Him to act unjustly. We may, in the moment, not understand why God does something, or how it is just for God to do or allow something to happen, but that does not change the fact that God is perfectly just and perfectly righteous. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. One last attribute, we could keep going, but one last attribute, God is unchanging. Always and forever, at all times, in all places, in all circumstances, God is unchanging. We never ever have to worry that God will change His mind and act contrary to how He's revealed Himself in the Bible. We never have to worry that God will change His character. He is stable and unshifting. He is the rock upon which we stand. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We can count on the unchangeableness of God. The source of our rejoicing, one of them, is in the Lord, and it can be found in His character. Secondly, we can look to God's sovereignty as a source of our rejoicing. When we say that God is sovereign, we mean that He is in control of all things, from the movement of virus molecules to the orbit of planets, from the gentle breeze off the ocean to the gale force winds of a Category 5 hurricane. He tells the clouds when to rain, and He directs the path of every bolt of lightning. He is in control over the growth of the grass and the growth of the child in the womb. He is in control over the outcome of every single roll of the dice in Vegas and the outcome of every election of a government official around the globe, from the least significant event to the most significant event. God is in control of all things at all times. No one and nothing is outside of His sovereign will. Now, when you trust that God is sovereign and that He is good, that He is faithful, just, and that He's unchanging, then, brothers and sisters, you have a never-ending source of joy. Because even when you are going through horrible circumstances, you can trust that God is good and that He's in control. And in that, you can rejoice. His provision. We can also look to God's provision as our source of rejoicing. We can trust that God is faithful and good and will provide exactly what we need at exactly the time that we need it. I could tell you story after story of God's provision in my life. I'll share just one. This was several years ago, before I came here at FBC. Holly and I, we needed a paper shredder. For whatever reason, we needed a paper shredder. And turns out the paper shredders are pretty expensive. And so a few days later, when I was at work at my previous church, someone came in looking to donate various items. And guess what one of those items was? A paper shredder, right? God is good, and He provides. He loves to provide for His people, even paper shredders. We can look to our faithful God who provides as a grounds for our rejoicing in Him. Lastly, but certainly not least, is looking to God's Son, Jesus, as the source of our rejoicing. We look to Christ, who descended down the staircase of humility from the throne room of heaven to the dirt, to the cross. We look to Christ, who lived a perfect, sinless life, and who willingly went to the cross to die in our place. We look to Christ, who stood in as our substitute and bore the wrath of God, taking our sin and our punishment upon Himself for the sins that we deserved, and for the punishment that we deserved. We look to Christ, who triumphantly rose from the grave, conquering sin and death, and is now exalted and is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. We look to Christ, who saved us from our sin and condemnation, and who purchased for us a right standing before God. We look to Christ and His work on the cross as the grounds for our rejoicing in Him. Brothers and sisters, we rejoice in the Lord. God is the unshakable source of our joy. Part of what that means is to have the Lord as part of what it means to have the Lord as the source of our joy is to look to his attributes, His sovereignty, His provision, and His Son. The source of our joy is in the Lord. Now that is the what of our joy. Let us now take a look at the why. The why of our joy. Why should we rejoice in the Lord? Well, first off, as I've already alluded to, all other sources of joy are temporary. All joy from the things of the world is fleeting. If you find your joy in money, your money will eventually dry up, and your joy will dry up with it. If the source of your joy is your health, then that too will fade over time, and your joy will fade with it. Everything in this world that could possibly be the source of our rejoicing is temporary. It's fleeting. But our joy in the Lord is an infinite well that never runs dry. Jonathan Edwards, one of the famous Puritans, he once said this: "The enjoyment of God is the only happiness in which our souls can be satisfied. The greatest things in the world are but shadows, but God is the substance. These are scattered beams, but God is the sun. These are but streams, but God is the ocean." The joy found in the Lord is not temporary, but eternal. And so, my question is, why would we ever look to something as temporary as the source of our joy when we have an infinite, eternal source of joy? And so the first reason I would suggest as to why we rejoice in the Lord is because there is nothing better or more lasting to rejoice in. And the second reason why we rejoice in the Lord is because we can't help but rejoice in Him. When you've been gripped by the gospel, and when you behold Christ with unveiled face, there is no one and nothing that you'd rather behold, that you'd rather find your joy in. If you are a believer, and there is nothing that this world can offer that can hold your gaze or your affection more than Christ. It is the most natural thing in the world to rejoice when your eyes have been opened to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus Christ. It is the most natural thing in all of the world to overflow with joy when you truly understand that Christ has saved you from your sins and your relationship with God has been restored. It is the most natural thing to rejoice when you realize that when Christ returns, you will not hear the verdict of guilty, but rather the God of the universe will say, not guilty, no condemnation. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Furthermore, it is the most natural thing to rejoice in the Lord because as a result of Christ's work on the cross, God the Father rejoices over us. Listen to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Isn't that just incredible? The God of the universe rejoices over you. Does that not lead you to joy? As we delight in Him, He unbelievably delights in us. Listen to this quote from C.S. Lewis from A Weight of Glory. To please God, to be a real ingredient in the divine happiness, to be loved by God, not merely pitied, but delighted in as an artist delights in his work or a father in his son, it seems impossible. A weight or burden of glory beyond our thoughts. A weight or burden of glory which our thoughts can hardly sustain. But so it is. It is incomprehensible for us that we are real ingredients in God's happiness. That we are not just merely pitied or tolerated, but that we are truly loved and delighted in by God. That knowledge is a weight of glory that is too wonderful for us to carry. It's almost too good to be true. But so it is. Because of Christ and because of our faith in Him, we are accepted, loved, and we are unbelievably pleasing to God. And this unfathomable reality leads us most naturally to rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in the Lord because it is the most natural thing to do for those who have been saved by Christ and declared righteous before God. Okay, so we've looked at the what, and we've looked at the why, and now we turn our attention finally to the how. How do we rejoice in the Lord? What does that look like when we leave here from church this Sunday, when we start our week on Monday? How do we rejoice in the Lord? The question is particularly relevant because not all of our circumstances are particularly happy. I've made that very clear already. You get some bad news from the doctor, you lose a loved one, or maybe you just had a bad day at the office. Whatever it is, we know that there are circumstances that lead us to not feel like rejoicing in the Lord. Or feel like rejoicing at all. Yet later in the letter to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Not sometimes. Not just when circumstances are good. Always. So how are we to rejoice in the Lord when our circumstances lead us to feeling sorrowful. Here are four practical things that you can do on how to rejoice in the Lord, no matter whether your circumstances are good or bad. The first way I would suggest is to give thanks to God regardless of your circumstances. Give thanks to God regardless of your circumstances. This is a means of rejoicing in the Lord because you are trusting that your current circumstances are from the hands of the good, sovereign God. Nothing that has entered into your life or into this world has not first passed through God's good, just, loving, righteous, sovereign hands. And so if your circumstances are good, you give thanks to God, trusting and rejoicing that He has blessed you with such favor. And when your circumstances are bad, you give thanks to God, trusting and rejoicing that He is good and that He's in control and will supply the grace that you need to get through the situation. Just a few weeks ago, when my family was going through that horrible stretch of sickness, and Hannah had a 104.5 degree fever, and I'm walking her back and forth in her room, I remember distinctly that I started grumbling. God, why are you letting this to happen? Why? This is like the 17th millionth week I feel like that we've been walking through this. Why, God, are you allowing this to happen again? But I remember, and it was almost sudden, that the Lord knocked sense into me and my grumbling turned to gratitude. I thanked God that He had counted me and my family, worthy to suffer for the sake of Christ. I thanked God for modern medicine that would help control and take down Hannah's fever. And I thanked God that He is supplying His sustaining grace to get us through this season. I remember distinctly telling God that I did not like the season, but I thanked Him and I was grateful for His provision. He was providing sustaining grace to get through this situation. I mean, think about this. Before the foundation of the world, before I was born, He knew that I'd be walking back and forth in that room with my baby girl. And He already knew how He was going to sustain me through every step that I would take and every moment that I would have with my family as we suffered through those illnesses. He is a good God. And He's worthy of thanks. That's the first practical way, giving thanks to God. The second way on how to rejoice in the Lord is very similar to the first. It is trusting in God despite our circumstances. This is an active choice on our part. It is an active choice to trust that no matter what our circumstances may be, good or bad, that God is still good and He is still in control. And if we trust that, then we can rejoice. We rejoice not because of our circumstances, but because the God whom we trust is good and is in control of those circumstances. Third, we rejoice in the Lord by looking to Christ instead of our circumstances. When we keep our eyes fixed on Christ and all that He accomplished for us on the cross, then we are more likely to rejoice in Him. But when we take our gaze off of God and instead focus on our circumstances, we are more prone to sink in worry and despair. When, let's say, you are given a bad medical diagnosis, if we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, then you can rejoice by looking to Christ to guide you through the storm. But the moment that we take our eyes off of Him and look more at the diagnosis and the weeks of hard journey ahead, that is when we begin to wallow in despair and worry. We rejoice in the Lord by looking to Christ instead of our circumstances. And finally, my last suggestion on how to rejoice in the Lord is to remind yourself often of the source of your joy in your circumstances. Remind yourself daily of who God is, that He is good, that He is just, that He is faithful, that He is unchanging. Remind yourself daily of His sovereignty, that He is good, that He is the good God in control over all things. Remind yourself daily of His provision, how He is a good, sovereign God that loves to provide for His people. Remind yourself of His Son, that He paid the infinite debt that you owed for your sin, so that you can walk into freedom as a child of the living God. Remind yourself often of the Lord. And if you do, if you remind yourself often of the Lord, then when bad circumstances come, your reflex will be to rejoice in the Lord, to remember in the Lord and rejoice. If you don't think of the Lord often, then your reflex will be to stare at your circumstances. But if you saturate your mind with the Lord, then when bad things happen, your reflex will be to run to the Lord. And in that you will rejoice. Now let me make one brief clarification and then we'll close. Rejoicing in the Lord does not mean, this is very important, it does not mean that you walk around life with a fake smile on your face and pretend that everything is just okay. Rejoicing in the Lord does not mean suppressing sadness because you should be happy. Rejoicing in the Lord instead is an attitude or a mindset that we have in the midst of bad or good situations. When things are going good, we rejoice in the Lord by giving thanks to Him for His blessings. And when things are going bad, we rejoice in the Lord by trusting Him, even though we may emotionally feel sorrowful. You see, rejoicing in the Lord is not an emotion. Emotions are fickle. Rejoicing in the Lord is not. It is a stable constant in our mindset. Rejoicing in the Lord may manifest itself externally as emotions. As you rejoice in the Lord, you may shout, "Thank you, God, for your blessing and your provision for my life. I rejoice in you and who you are." That might be an actual manifestation of your rejoicing in the Lord. Your emotions may absolutely be an expression of your joy in the Lord. But it is crucial for us to understand that internally you can rejoice in the Lord even if externally your emotions don't appear to be happy or joyful. That is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, that he is sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Outwardly, he might be sorrowful, but inwardly he is rejoicing because he is loved by God, saved by Christ, and filled with the Holy Spirit. He is sorrowful outside, but inside, rejoicing. Now the same could be true for us. Let's say that you have a really close friend or family member, and let's say for whatever reason that relationship has suddenly fractured or has been completely broken. It is understandable that you would feel sadness at the loss of this relationship. But internally, you can rejoice in the Lord by reminding yourself that God is good, that He is in control of even this situation, and that He works all things together for the good of those who love Him. Or let's say you or a loved one is sick or in a lot of pain. Fake joy would say, nah, no biggie, no big deal, I'll get through this. But true rejoicing in the Lord say, yeah, this might be the hardest season of my life. But I trust that God is walking with me every step of the way. And that is being sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. That is what I would say serious joy. When you lose a loved one, rejoicing in the Lord does not look like putting on a smile in public, but rather through the tears of sorrow you might whisper, "The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in that, with that mindset, that is rejoicing in the Lord. And so rejoicing in the Lord is not some fake, phony, flippant, paint a smile on your face joy. No, rejoicing in the Lord is an inner, unshakable joy that is not rocked by your circumstances. It is an inner joy that can subsequently be expressed outwardly. And it is an inner joy that is experienced even in sorrow, in pain, and suffering. And so, brothers and sisters, we are all seeking happiness and joy. My prayer is that you would rejoice in the Lord. That you would find your source of joy in the Lord, looking to His attributes, His sovereignty, His provision, and the salvation purchased by His Son as the source of your joy. That you would rejoice in the Lord because you know that there is no other joy out there that is more lasting, and because it is the most natural thing in the world for you to do as you've been saved by God. And that you would rejoice in the Lord by giving thanks to Him, by trusting in Him, by looking to Christ, and by reminding yourself daily of the true source of your joy. Now, if you're here this morning, or if you're viewing online and you are not a believer, then I encourage you to pray and receive Christ this morning as your Savior. Ask God to open your eyes to see His glory and to soften your heart to receive the good news that Christ came to die in your place, to forgive you of your sins, and to restore your relationship with God. Would you receive Christ this morning and the eternal joy that is given to His followers? Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are the good, sovereign God who provides for His people. And perhaps the greatest provision was Your Son, who came to die in our place to save us from our sins. Oh Lord, would this and much more of who You are be the source of our joy? Would we not look to our circumstances? Would we not look to the waves crashing around us? Would we not look to the storm, the hurricane that's on the horizon as the source of our joy, but would we look to You? And when the storms of life come crashing around us, would we keep our eyes fixed upon you, trusting in you, giving thanks to you, looking to your Son as our joy. Would you help us, Lord God, to strike the delicate balance as Paul has of being sorrowful yet always rejoicing? Would you help us, God, to not look to the world, to not look to other people, to not look to our situation, our circumstances, but to look to you, God, as the ever-giving, never-running-out well of joy. Help us, Father. Help us to understand the weight of glory that you unbelievably rejoice over us and delight in us. And would that too lead us to great rejoicing in your name. Help us, Father, to seek joy in the right places, not the wrong ones, to seek them in you. We ask these things, Christ Jesus, in your name. Amen.